Chapter 27. Reacher blew straight past the billboard and then slowed and checked ahead. In his experience, most places reserved the main drag for profit and loss businesses. Municipal enterprises like cops and county offices would be a block or two over, maybe more. Something to do with tax revenues. A town couldn't charge as much for a lot on a back street. He slowed a little more and passed the first building. It was on the left. It was an aluminum coach diner, as advertised on the billboard, as mentioned by Dorothy the housekeeper. It was the place where the county cops got their morning coffee and donuts, and their afternoon snacks, apparently. There was a black-and-white Dodge police cruiser parked outside, plus two working pickup trucks, both of them farm vehicles, both of them dented and dirty. Next up, in terms of infrastructure, was a gas station across the street, Texaco, with three service bays attached. Then came a long sequence of miscellaneous enterprises, on the left and the right. A hardware store, a liquor store, a bank, tire bays, a John Deere dealership, a grocery, a pharmacy. The street was broad and muddy and had diagonal parking on both sides. Reacher drove all the way through town. At the end of it was a genuine crossroads, signposted left to an ethanol plant and right to a hospital, and straight ahead to I-80, another 60 miles farther on. He U-turned, shoulder to shoulder, and came back again, north on the main drag. There were three side streets on the right and three on the left. They all had names that sounded like people. Maybe original Nebraska settlers, or famous football players, or coaches, or champion corn growers. He made the first right on a street named McNally and saw the Marriott Hotel up ahead. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which was awkward. The old files would be in the police station or a county storeroom, and either way the file clerks would be quitting at 5. He had 1 hour. That was all. Access alone might take 30 minutes to arrange, and there was probably plenty of paper, which would take much more than the other 30 to read. He was going to have to wait for the morning. Or maybe not. Worth a try. He rolled ahead and took a look at the hotel on the way. He wasn't sure what the difference was between a regular Marriott and a Courtyard Marriott. Maybe one was high-rise and the other was low-rise. This was a low-rise, just two stories, H-shaped, a lobby flanked by two modest wings of bedrooms. There was a parking lot out front with marked spaces for about 20 cars, only two of them occupied. Same again at the rear of the building. 20 spaces, only two of them occupied. Plenty of vacancies. Winter time, in the middle of nowhere. He made a left and came back north again, parallel to the main drag, 3 blocks over. He saw the second restaurant. It was a rib shack. It boasted a dry rub recipe direct from Kansas. He turned left again just beyond it and came back to the main street and pulled in at the diner. The cop car was still there, still parked. The diner wasn't busy. Reacher could see in through the windows. 2 cops, 3 civilians, a waitress and a cook behind a hatch. Reacher locked the Cadillac and walked in. The cops were face to face in a booth. Each of them wide and bulky, each of them taking up most of a 2-person bench. One of them was about Reacher's age, and one of them was younger. They had gray uniforms with badges and insignia and nameplates. The older cop was called Hogue. Reacher walked past him and stopped, and pantomimed a big double take and said, "You're Hogue, right? I don't believe it." The cop said, "Excuse me? I remember you from Desert Storm, don't I? The Gulf? In 1991, am I right?" The cop said, "I'm sorry, my friend, but you'll have to help me out here. There's been a lot of water over the dam since 91. Reacher offered his hand. He said, "Reacher, 110th MP. The cop wiped his hand on his pants and shook. He said, I'm not sure I was ever in contact with you guys. Really? I could have sworn. Saudi, maybe? Just before, during Desert Shield? I was in Germany just before. I don't think it was Germany. But I remember the name and the face, kind of. Did you have a brother in the Gulf or a cousin or something? A cousin, sure. Looks just like you? Back then, I guess. A little. There you go. Nice guy, right? Nice enough. And a fine soldier, as I recall. He came home with a Bronze Star. I knew it. 7th Corps, right? 2nd Armored Cavalry. 3rd Squadron? That's the one. I knew it, Reacher said again. An old, old process, exploited by fortune-tellers everywhere. Steer a guy through an endless series of yes, no, right, wrong questions, and in no time at all, a convincing illusion of intimacy built itself up. A simple psychological trick, sharpened by listening carefully to answers, feeling the way, and playing the odds. Most people who wore name tags every day forgot they had them on, at least initially. And a lot of Heartland cops were ex-military, way more than the average. And even if they weren't, most of them had big families, lots of brothers and cousins, virtually certain that at least one of them would have been in the Army. And Desert Storm had been the main engagement for that whole generation. And 7th Corps had been by far its largest component. And a Bronze Star winner from the 2nd Armored Cavalry was almost certainly from the 3rd Squadron, which had been the tip of the spear. An algorithm. Playing the odds. No-brainers all the way. Reacher asked, So, what's your cousin doing now? Tony? He's back in Lincoln. He got out before the 2nd go-around, thank God. He's working for the railroad. 2 kids, one in junior high and one in college. Ah, that's terrific. You see him much? Now and then. Be sure to remember me to him, okay? Jack Reacher, 110th MP. One desert rat to another. So, what are you doing now? He's bound to ask. Me? Ah, the same old, same old. What, you're still in? No, I mean, I was an investigator, and I'm still an investigator. But private now. My own man, not Uncle Sam's. Here in Nebraska? Just temporarily, Reacher said. Then he paused.